I just want to start from the outset to say that any decision we make today may change tomorrow. In order to have the best expert advice, we have commissioned...
Supercoach 360.
If the time's going up, it's recording.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, time for the show.
Oh, mate, 100%.
We need to find out why they think it's okay to say anything.
It's certainly one of the greatest challenges in the history of the game.
That's what they want to try and do.
Megastar to megastar!
In this regard, we're leaving every option on the table.
Excellent. Oh,
what was that, buddy?
That was something special.
You know what?
That's not talent.
Uh-oh.
Supercoach 360.
The best way to handle these things is to stay measured, stay calm, you know, live your life as normal.
Unless we start finding it off the people... who actually
just do it.
It makes their little ordinary life feel a little bit better for that moment.
Makes you
cool. Supercoach 360 podcast.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
G'day, welcome to Supercoach 360. In the coach's box, Jazzy J, we have got Bergs and Con. We're here to talk all things Supercoach for another week. Round 18, Origin, Puppy, massive, obviously, and a whole bunch more. I say a whole bunch more. If you read the description, you know that's a lie. We're going to talk about Puppy all night. There's going to be questions about Puppy. Everyone's going to have, let's say fullbacks, not Puppy. I mean, Puppy was the big target. And he's not as big money as you traded him for, so you've lost money.
You got halves, 5/8, centers, everything available.
The question is, if you had Pappy, what are you doing with that money? Because, like, what was his percentage ownership before this week? I mean, ballpark. It was in 30, 40% teams.
I think in the top 10,000, he was pretty much 90-odd%.
Yeah, so it wouldn't surprise me. It was absolutely up there. I mean, he's Pappy. He's huge, and he'd come back doing all right.
Well, he's owned by 50,000 teams right now, whether that's before or after they've been traded out this week, I don't know.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I'm not entirely sure either.
Because he's already been traded out by 23,000 teams this week.
23,000 teams. Wow, that's pretty epic.
The targets seem to be Trell, Teddy, Garrick, Manu, Cherry Evans.
Big four, hey? Well, big five. We've got a lot to talk about. We've got Brad Smith has sent us some options about what to do about Puppy. We've got Ross's roundup. We've got Timmy O. He's put a fear factor. Hot tip has what to do with your aiming for a target after Puppy. We've got questions. We've got all the usual stuff. So let's just kick into it. I mean, Pappy's the massive out from round 18, but let's skip back before that, boys. Origin. All spoils go to the victors, unfortunately, Con. Congratulations.
Yes, Rugby League was the winner. I was close second behind it. It was a great night. Great game of football. Couldn't have asked for much better, to be honest with you.
Yeah, what'd you like most about the game?
Everything. The intensity of it. The brutality of it, the punches thrown in it, the closeness of the contest for so much of the game, and then obviously the result on top of it was the icing.
Yep. Man of the series, you agree with?
I don't.
No?
I do.
Ooh, why do you, Burks?
Just a weapon from it was his first hit out in Origin. I don't think he's played a series before, Con, has he?
No.
Nah, so just for me... the work he put in from game one, like, don't get me wrong, like you said earlier, if Cotter was there for the two other games, he probably would have got it. But for me,
I didn't say that.
No, he would have, like, outdone Carrigan, you know what I mean? He would have got the lock spot and just done better. But for me, Carrigan was a standout for his all series. Like, I watched him heavily after game one because he come and done a job for us. And for me, I think he was well deserving of it, personally.
I think he was one of our best forwards throughout the whole series, absolutely, but I don't think he was the best player in the series. I think he should have gone to KP.
Yeah.
Call me biased, but I think KP was close to Munster's best player on ground.
Doesn't
in game
do.
One and got me in the match in game two. And if they're ranking it off a 3-2-1 system, mathematically by me, KP wins it. But you didn't. Well done, Carrigan. Well done, Queensland.
Yeah, it was. Look, it was
a shit New South Wales, but
it,
nah.
It was. It was a great game of footy. I loved everything that Con just said as well. Like the brutality of it was great. I loved the punches. Didn't like the Tino thing. Personally, think he should have got some minutes, but that's
there was two things on that for me. Yeah. First thing was I didn't like the team what Tino did. It was 1-on-1. Gage was winning
heavily.
Anyway. He didn't need to do what he did in that situation. And two, I'm disappointed that New South Wales didn't react more aggressively to that situation.
Yeah.
They should have ran in there and started swinging punches.
Yeah.
I think.
I think so too. But it didn't happen, and yeah, here we are. Take me hat off to you. We got outplayed again in game three. Easily too, I think. Like, you had a game plan and turned us around all night, and we just never ever got on the front foot. So, it was good.
Well, yeah. There was probably 10-15 leading in half time, just before Tupo did that brain snap where he tried to catch it 10 centimetres in from the touchline and just got it completely wrong, and then we scored a try, like you did in game two.
Yeah.
And that kind of turned the tide a little bit, and then second half we just come out and rode off it.
Yeah. No, it was. It was a good game. It was football, like you said, football was the winner that night. Going worldwide like it does Origin, I think people overseas have just sat back and gone, fucking wow, what a game, you know.
These guys are nuts.
So, yeah, it was good. It was good for the sport, the game. Result wasn't good for me, but, yeah. Anyway, it's always next year again.
Well, it is good. We don't want any dynasties to be starting or anything like
that. We do. I wouldn't mind just a little bit longer than yours even. Just then Origin would be dead after 2 years, but you know how yous get. But we're here to talk Supercoach. So, Juzzy, do you have any Supercoach or you want to talk a bit of Origin? What do you think of the Origin, mate? Like,
brilliant game.
Give us your take on it.
Brilliant game. Loved it. Watched it here with Con. Oh, I didn't. Watched it here with Gregory.
Sorry, I was still cruel.
Yeah, it's here. Burks was going to come, but he didn't. Story of his life.
Oh, sweet.
What can you say? Four guys gone in 4 minutes. Three guys gone in 4 minutes.
Three guys, yeah, in the first four.
Just insane to have that many people just drop out straight away. And then you had the biff with Birdo and Gagai, obviously. Tino, big Tino. I know there's a few things to actually talk about. I've got a point to talk about some of the things that happened there.
The best thing about the knockouts is, if there can be a silver lining to it, I guess, was even with 16 in New South Wales and 15 in Queensland pretty much all game, the intensity and the quality of the game didn't dim at all.
If
even
made
when
it
fatigue
better.
Was on the at its finest, they still just kept the quality up, and it was still a great game to watch.
Well, I think they knew they had no other options. You know, that's it. You were out there all of a sudden, and that's it. Your game had changed. Your game plan had changed. And, yeah, everyone just stood up. I mean, Queensland, unfortunately, just stood that touch taller.
Oh, you know what? What about Benny Hunt catching one?
Good on him. If anyone deserves it.
Yeah, I sort of, like, cracked
redemption.
A smile for him.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Good on him. Hopefully they put that one on the highlights more than they put his other one on the highlights.
Yeah. I mean, they will now.
It was a good one, mate.
It was. Yeah. I mean, you can't deny it. Benny Hunt, throughout Origin, has just, I mean, all year, really, he stood up at the Dragons.
Yeah, he's been still, his best year,
yeah.
War-wise, I think.
And
even better than 15 when they went to the grand final.
Yeah.
And as far as Queensland goes, yeah, he stood up real hard throughout all of Origin, and he's done that the last few years. He's just, you watch him, he's always a threat. If he's on the field, he's a threat. That 40-20, I was talking with the bloke at work about it, like, yeah, I'll put money on Benny Hunt to get a 40-20. We were just spewing we couldn't get him in the multis. 100%, he did it.
Yeah.
When he did, game changer. Bang.
That's it.
Game changer.
Kicked one in game one, game changer as well.
Yeah. And then to just cement it, really, with a Cleary catch. Just yeah. Yeah, see you later, bro.
It's good for him.
Yeah, 100%.
Well done to him. I thought I'd bring it up because, yeah, I've hammered him for that cow. I hammered him for that kick and shit when he dropped it. So, and he dropped another one too. Well, yeah. He's dropped a couple, but, yeah, good on you, Benny. But, yeah, so Supercoach guys, what are we going to go into first? What do you have you want to talk about?
No, I was just saying we'll talk about the post that you put up the other day, which was a little bit divisive, and I'm curious to get your guys' opinions on it. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. Let's talk Supercoach. So, Ron Captainsbergs.
Yeah, I just, you know what, I can't seem to do it. Like, I need to catch up, and most weeks I just pick the wrong dude, and it seems to be, even in a decent matchup for him, I'm just not picking the right guys. And it's not from lack of effort, it's just some years it's you that just can't pick your captain, you know. So I'm starting to think, like, what's my best option here? Do I keep trying to play the field, or I just lock it onto one guy who's going to do a job over the next so many rounds? Doesn't matter if he gets a 30 this week, as long as he gets a 120 the following, if you catch my drift. I still don't want him getting 30s, ideally, but who's the guy? Like, I know you said Naif would be the guy, Con.
Not average-wise, I think Naif's your man.
Yeah, but what about you? If you needed to, just to catch up, and like, now I'm out of contention for everything now, so it's just
no,
about...
I'm the same as you. I can't pick one to save me life.
Yeah.
And I go into it every year with that plan. Just pick and stick, leave it on that one guy. You know, he's going to do the job. Never works out. Always changing, trying to be smart.
Yeah.
Outthinking myself.
Well, the matchup sometimes you can't pass up.
Sometimes you can't. And then, like you said, it just grills you.
Yeah. It's the matchup that, yeah, seems to be getting me. And it's the juicy ones. But like, you just think, here it is. This is the week.
I would like to work out, if you could, like, what the captaincy was that week, what they scored, and then compare it to someone who just goes throughout the whole year and
leaving
see what the difference
on.
Would be if you nailed those captains that were in your team or owned by a mass percentage of teams that week that scored higher than old mate or not.
I think the playbook's starting to get something like that happening. You can check just about anyone's score as long as you know their team name, I think. So, he's got something going on over there anyway, old Timmy and the boys. I'll have to look into that a bit further for you, but yeah, that's something that's happening that you can track down the top teams.
Yeah, that's already there.
Oh, yeah?
You can already see that. Teddy, Big Ted sent us through.
Yeah. Ted, yeah, that's, well, that's where that's come from, you know. So, yeah, they're doing something over there with that, which is pretty good, but... Yeah, so what about you, Juzzy? How are you doing with your captain choices this year? Like, have you nailed them? Like, I know you were doing well early and then you just dropped off. Is it due to the captains or injuries got you? Like, what happened there? Poor choices?
Yeah, pretty much poor captain choices a lot of the time. Yeah. Really hurt me. I don't know. I'm just missing out on the wrong cheapies. I just invested and got on the people that didn't make money, and I missed out on all the people that did. I missed out on some of the just like good solid point scorers and gold mines for the year. So yeah, we've talked about this almost every week.
Yeah, all right. Well, should we do a Roscoe's roundup?
Yeah, I'm actually just looking through Ross's roundup. I'm on supercoach360.com and I'm just having a quick look through it now. Why? So I'm curious to get your opinions on it. He reckons Latrell Mitchell, a touch under 700K, having a mad season since returning from the injury, two near tons, and then tunned up nicely on the weekends. He's got a three-round average of about 100. Tough run home, break-even of 14. So projected to make about 50K.
Well, yeah, it'd probably be the week to jump on this week.
But what do you guys like rate him? Obviously, we're going to be talking a lot about Puppy and the fullback options. He is in that coveted fullback spot, and he is fullback only. I mean, I had him in. He was, oddly enough, my captain last week. Did well. I don't have Manu. I thought maybe Manu shifting back to centre. I mean, yeah, I was just like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to get on now if he's going to be dropping cash. But I mean, I'm not entirely sure he will. He's proved he's so lethal. You just got to get the ball in his hands, don't you?
I wanted to get straight on his return. I didn't do it because of his draw. And the good part of his draw is over now. Now he's got the Storm, the Sharks, the Warriors, Eels, Panthers, Cowboys, Roosters to finish. That's pretty much top five.
How can he have the Roosters to finish?
They have. That's Roosters their last game of the year. There's some games are only 4 weeks apart, does he?
We're talking really... Joey Manu. He's a Rooster.
No, we're talking Latrell Mitchell.
Oh, whoa. Spewing.
Yeah, we're talking Latrell.
That's what I mean. Like, his draw is just too much return off for me.
Yeah.
I think this. If you're going to get him, this is obviously the week with his break even and that, but I'm avoiding.
Oh, look, here's the other side of that coin. We've seen where they're at without Latrell. Melbourne's not the side they were. Parramatta, you don't know when they'll turn up. For me, he is, if they want to make a finals charge, it's going to come off the back of Latrell and Cody and that left side. He's got points in him. Like he's a proven big game player, if you know what I mean. He'll stand up to these games, but it's a matter of can he cross the line? Like, the effort will be there, I think. It's a matter of him actually executing and scoring the points.
He's not going to play the Knights and the Bulldogs every week from here on out.
Yeah.
And in round 16 against Para, he had a few missing. But, yeah, I think it's better.
Yeah, well, that my thing as well, I was looking at just moving Garrick down and doing something there, but I don't know what I'm going to do yet, personally.
Speaking of Garrick, he's also made the list. Being the dual position fullback, centre winger, 730K of him not being a buy. All this talk of him not being a buy because Turbo is out doesn't really bode well when he's got a three-round average of 84.7. And he's still a goal-kicking fullback. Break-even of 76. Next three games, Dragons, Roosters, and the Eels. Manly, looking... They are starting to look good. Like, I mean, I think they are a threat and a push for the eight. Are they a push for the four?
He kind of did a little Turbo on the weekend. Will Mestian throughout the game, and he was on bugger all coming up to halftime, I think.
Oh, I had a great...
And then he had a late flurry where he scored a try, set up two or three, and burst through the 100 barrier, and he wasn't even kicking goals, so he missed out on possibly another 28, 32 points in the goal kicking because he's got some kind of injury. I don't know how long that's going to linger around and when he's going to get those duties back. But, yeah, I love him.
Yeah, I brought him in last week over Joey Manu spewing, but...
Still a good get.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Because, yeah, like I said to you, that like we were talking half-time, and it's like far out, like... And he didn't look fresh, neither. He was sort of, like, looking a bit ginger out there, but he ended up, finishing solid. And so, yeah, he's got that in him. He's not doing Turbo shit. He's doing Ruben Garrick shit. Like, he's doing it on his own. The team's sort of using him very well as well. So, I like Ruben Garrick. I think Ruben Garrick's a good get. And with his dual, if someone does pop up and you just got to get him, you can easily shift him up. Pull in whoever you really have to get, you know?
Well, there's a few of those gun centre wings who are fullbacks, jewels, like your Manus, Val Holmes, and players like that as well, so...
Did Val make that list over there, or...?
Oddly enough, Val did make that list over there. I was going to stay at Manly with Cherry Evans, but I guess we'll have to come back there.
No, that's all right.
The beaches, it's always nice. Dual position, as you mentioned, touch under 500K, sneaky pod for those that got on. Averaging 62.8, three-round average of 83.3. Next three games, Tigers, Dragons, and the Dogs. So, draw is juicy too.
Then even the Roosters, who just let in 26 against the Dragons, the Warriors, and then the Rabbits, who can also leak points. So, he doesn't really have a top defensive side that he's running into.
Well, oddly enough, he is one of the top defensive sides, which... Yeah. Yeah, bodes well for them, really.
Well, creates more attacking opportunities.
He does his own shit too, Val. Like,
and he's I think he's probably the best kicker in a goal kicker in the game this year. The way he just kicks them so straight and so accurate.
Yeah.
I don't know the percentages, but I'd say he'd be on top.
Well and truly out there, yeah.
Well, on the way back to Manly, let's stop by the City. James Tedesco, 675K. Only got the 2 tons this year so far. Projected break-even of 70. Near the ton, unfortunately. 99, got about as close as you possibly can.
Scored a try in the dying, too. Like.
Next 3 games, Knights, Manly and Broncos. So, I mean, I don't think that affects Teddy if they're clicking into finals mode. And yeah, Teddy just does Teddy stuff, yeah?
Yeah.
Like, we've seen that. So.
I don't know.
What don't you know?
The halves combination of Walker and Cleary, they like to play more expansive kind of football. Where the last couple of weeks, where Joey Manu's been six, that's more everything's been directed down the middle.
And short
Joey
balls,
Manu
yeah.
likes to go down the middle, take on those tight balls. James Tedesco does most of his work through the middle. So now with Cleary and Walker back, are they still going to focus and channel down the middle with their attack, or are they going to start being more expansive like they were earlier in the year when, in my opinion, it wasn't anywhere near as effective?
Didn't work at all.
But, so, I think that's something to watch for, maybe.
All right.
Yeah.
That's it. That's a very good point. I'm not entirely sure. Maybe they were playing around at the start of the year and now they've clicked into doing what they've got to do. I'm not entirely sure.
It was just out of necessity over the last couple of weeks that that's how they had to play with the stocks that they had.
Yeah.
Now the stocks have changed. The outside backs are within than the halves now. So do they go revert back to their previous style or?
And Joey
Manu, what's been working?
Joey Manu's running game, the way he runs it and commands two people, he offers that short ball and there's a hole there. So
well, it's lethal. We're meant to talk about it inside. I'm going to bring it up now. The cramp situation.
Yeah, yeah.
You missed it. He picked up a loose ball, and he kind of turned around and then grabbed the back of his leg like he was cramping. And two of the Dragons forwards kind of just moseyed up to him to softly put him to the ground. And bang, he just exploded straight through the middle. Broke another tackle, come to the fullback, put a grubber in, and they scored a try. I thought, brilliant. What a play.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if it's sportsmanship at its finest, but I love it.
I mean, isn't it all about a little bit of deception? Exactly. Like, if you manage to sell them on that fact, then...
The thing that worries me now is the next player who's really injured, somebody's just going to run in there and pump him.
Oh, well.
Like, there's going to be no holds barred now on, I've done an ACL kind of thing. They're just going to go, yeah, right, bang.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, that, look, maybe not the next player, but perhaps Joey Manu. Like, if you come up against Joey, you'd be like, well, you know what? I'm still just going to put you down.
It's not don't take a dummy. It's don't take a cramp.
He should have saved that for the finals. If
100%.
yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It could have been legit, but...
But no, who else you got on that list? You said Cherry, didn't you?
Cherry, yes, 100%. Cherry, 650. So he's sitting in the middle. He's obviously a halfback. Seems to finish strong. You love him at the end of the season as your second half.
I have picked him up a couple of times over the years. Especially when Turbo goes down, he seems to get better points. You'll notice Cherry, he backs up a lot. He's very fast. And he backs up with the forwards. Like, he's always there, ready for the offload, you know. He's not just standing deep waiting for the play. He's always busy. So, yeah, I don't mind Cherry at all. I still don't see him doing naive stuff. But if he gets the goal kicking for a couple of weeks...
Well, hold on. Can I give you a little stat here?
Just before you do, sorry. He uses that weapon outside him.
Olakwati.
The Titans don't. Olakwati. In the last... Olakwati scored 5 or 6 games in a row now, something like that.
Yeah, it's
they've all
seems
pretty
to
much come off Cherry, so it's almost bankable points at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, well, stop it. Yeah, he's a big dude, man. He's a big dude. Glad he was one of them ones I'm fully glad I jumped on and persevered with all year.
Well, Cherry averaging 72.3 at the moment, 3-round average of 107. And these last 3 games have been against the Cowboys, the Storm. So,
Cherry, that's not bad at all from the Chiefs.
Oh, sorry, Cowboys, Storm, and Knights, and he's 78, 118, 111. So he's on fire at the moment.
He goes on these tears too.
Albeit a depleted Storm side. Well, actually, I wouldn't have been that heavily depleted, but still.
I'm missing a few, but still, but yeah. But
break even of zero, and next three games, Dragons, Roosters, and Eels. So if anyone's going to be able to put those points on consistently, you'd still think Cherry's going to do it. Known for finishing the season strong. You going to jump on?
At this point, no, I'm not. Just because I've got Nicho Hynes and I've got...
you wouldn't put Nicho back to fullback?
Not at this point. I think there's better... there's not better points coming in halfback, really. Not as good as Nicho, not as good as Naif. Like, they're probably the two best. Maybe Pod on with Romy Hughes, but...
If you're going to Pod on, you'd go
with Cherry. Probably. Yeah, but... For me, I'm happy with them too. If one of them went down, Cherry straight in. But for me, I'm going to dabble with the points down the bottom and have a look heavily at a couple of the runs home and maybe bring in a dual centre wing, one of the ones we talked about, either a Val or a... I've already got a Garrick. Who was the other one we were talking about? Or someone else. But anyway, there's another one out there with the dual. So, look, for me...
Well, even that, you still got Teddy and Trill. If you think they're going to outscore DCE as well as Hynes and Cleary,
I'm worried like you are about the Trell thing with the run. Like it's now the business end of the season. Like teams should be turning up, you know, and they have to win a majority of these games to make the eight. I think,
and a lot of these other teams have to win to make the top four, kind of thing. Too. So there's a lot on the line in a lot of their games.
Manu is the other one that you're thinking about, and I figured out what happened when I just. Like we're talking about Manu. Yeah, well, I got you guys talking about Latrell, but I said that I captained him, and then I was like, but Manu was the better captain, but I didn't have him, and then for some reason, I just thought we were talking about Manu.
Fair enough.
Yeah, right. But Manu is that guy that's somewhat forgotten sometimes. I mean, he's obviously worked pretty hard through this, you know, middle part of the season to make sure he's not. Biggest captain performance over the weekend was a bit of a game changer, and he's got that dual flexibility of fullback or centre wing.
My only concern now is he's back to centre. So,
and their draw isn't lovely.
Nah, it's not. What they got now? I think Tigers is 3 weeks away or something.
The Knights.
Yep.
Manly, Broncos, Cowboys.
Yep.
Tigers, Storm, Rabbitohs.
Yeah, so that's...
So a lot of those teams are in contention to do something and have to... turn up every week kind of thing.
Yeah.
If he is commanding two defenders still, then...
All right, if you're a Joey owner at 800K, could you see it in a perfect world where you had luxury trades? Would you trade him out at top dollar?
That depends how they use him this week at four.
You just like wait and see.
You use him like they used Turbo in Origin last year, you happy, you'd probably keep him.
Yeah.
But...
he's just camped out there in his centre.
Yeah, if he just stays at left centre and only touched the ball five times this week, you might look at cashing in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless Keary gets another head knock.
He's definitely done a job. You know, he's definitely done a job for people.
It takes a feather to drop on him.
But after whipping out a score like that too, like I couldn't just sell him. That's in his rolling average as well.
No, 100% no.
So.
You're having a look.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But yeah.
But it could also take away from Teddy too, because... like I said, he liked to go through the middle too, so he was attracting the defenders away from Teddy, as Teddy was attracting the defenders away from him through the middle too, so it was a good tandem tag team there.
Yeah.
I'd just bench Sam Walker and pay Keary and Manu at 6 and 7. I think it has to be done. If Billy Smith didn't go down, they had a few more outside backs possibly, but yeah. I'd still do it. I think Keary is sitting in reserve grade. He can come in and play centre.
Yeah, Drew Archer can do it too.
I think for the Roosters to win the comp, Manu has to be 6.
Yeah. Or be in contention, anyway. Yeah. Yeah, so what do we got? What do we got coming up Supercoach-wise, big fella?
Pardon? Well, we've still got the holds and the sells, so it's only taken us 20 minutes to get through this. We're doing well. Right. But, I mean, look, we're talking about a lot of the things that really, a lot of the same names
are
repeating.
We crossed off Paps.
Yeah.
Pretty much, and who to go to.
But then Brad's got a thing about Paps. So
right.
We haven't really left much for it. For the holds, though, Max King, if you still got him, hold on. for the Sells, obviously Pappy, Sione Katoa out with an injury, and Rosker also reckons Mitch Barnett now sell, averaging 51.5, three-round average of 60.3. Time to get him out of there, especially if you got on when... Who went down? Was it Maddo? We were talking about maybe to go on a Barnett.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, yeah. Yeah. Well, Maddo's name this week. That's good for owners that held on. Con, you one of them, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah. So, his name this week.
Yes. I had something to say about the old topic. I just forgot what it was.
Good work. Man, we are professionals.
Who's
the hold? Yeah. If I could upgrade Matt King, I'd upgrade him.
Yeah. To who?
Well, I think Tarpany, IPAP. If Huss comes back in form, there wouldn't be much of a price difference between Huss and Max King at the moment. So,
Jesus, Max King worked his way up there.
Well, Huss is only going to 480.
Yeah, he's 480 or something.
Oh, he's dropped a crap load of cash. So, if you can get to almost a straight swap from Max King to paying Huss for the run home, I'd lick my lips at that and say yes, please. Yeah. If he showed up this game and looked good.
There's a few ifs, buts, and maybes in there, but we'll find out, I suppose. Alrighty, cool. So, what else we got? Well, we got the fear factor with Timmy O. I had a read through that, and he pretty much mentions a lot of those same players that were in the buy section there. So, big thanks to Timmy O for that bad boy. He did break it down a little bit, but his four players were Teddy, Trell, I think Val was in there. DCE. And DCE, yeah.
They all got to mention.
Well, I don't think we mentioned Thirsty yet. I think he's, with his draw, I think he's a good
shout. Option. Drink water.
With his flexibility as a 5'8 fullback.
Drinky was the other one that Timmy mentioned, actually. I've had Drinky all year, pretty much now.
And
most of the year.
How do you feel about him?
I'm actually thinking maybe get off.
Really?
I'm not entirely sure. Well, the last couple of weeks, he hasn't done great.
Tigers, Dragons, Bulldogs, his next three.
Yeah, so potential's there, but...
And then Roosters, Warriors, Rabbits, then Panthers in the last round. Head's over.
Yeah, sweet does. All right, well, that's it.
My initial plan
was to hold him and, as Juice Ezra Mam, Drinky up to 5'8", and then a fullback. But, I mean, now I'm going to have to juice Puppy.
Well, Ezra's not doing too bad.
Well, see, now I can hold Ezra. Do I maybe move? Do I contemplate moving Drinky down to my fullback position with Trell to bring Munster in with the Pappy money? Because that,
if you don't have Munster, get Munster.
I had him, but then a couple of weeks ago he wasn't playing.
If you don't have
Munster,
get Munster.
Yeah, that's it. I need Munster back. So
definitely need
I can
Munster.
Hold. I can actually with Pappy now going down, that could be an option. Could be an option. Speaking of options, let's look at some options for what to do with Pappy.
Well, another outrageous option is my man in the series, KP.
Yeah, now this is your pod option.
Don't have a horrible draw. In the head-to-head finals times, they play the Tigers, Broncos, Raiders, Titans. So KP's playing the Titans in your head-to-head grand final. And I just think it... Under 500k at the moment. Ezra Mann's just over 400, I think, or around that 400 mark. That $100,000 from Mann to KP, it just could be that point of difference you need come finals time in your head-to-head leagues. Ezra's been going great, yes, don't get me wrong, but I don't think he's got that 170 KP's got in him.
Oh, you fucking big one from KP.
Do Newcastle have a mathematical of the finals? No. So what's he
Mathematically, yeah, we would, but
my question is, what's he playing for?
Jersey. We got World Cup at the end of the year.
Well, hopefully pride.
We got
hopefully, but that's...
Sorry, Brad, got his money. You don't need that name.
Yeah, exactly. You'd like to think so, but in reality, like, is he going to put his body on the line as hard if they're not going for the finals?
Well, wait, can I be honest with you? If you remember KP's first year at Origin, I think it was he played lock.
Come off the bench, played.
He could easily chime if he's played well in Origin. If he plays well from now to the end, Mal could easily put him on the bench at 14.
The way fullbacks drop him, he could get a start.
I think Teddy would be right, but Yeah, I think for me,
I don't know, you know me, I love Queenslander.
Yeah, I know, but still, Teddy.
Oh, I understand.
Teddy the captain, isn't he?
Oh, I can't believe there's debate about Daly Cherry Evans keeping the jersey over Nath. That's what I find outrageous.
Look, for me, if they could play together, great, but then you'd have no Munster, you know?
No, Munster's a walk-up start.
How do you go without him? And, yeah, for me, look, Cherry for me outplayed us in Game 3. It was Cherry's kicking game, his organisation. Fuck, he was good, mate. Yeah, he did, but
Cherry... You're not on the microphone.
Cherry did have a massive series for Queensland. You know, he was good. It was probably his best series I've ever seen him play.
I don't agree.
You've seen him play a better series?
I don't think he was that good.
No, he done alright, man. He just made good decisions.
He was okay. He kind of did his job. He
his kicking game was
few,
good.
Quite a few errors. A couple of crucial ones. All in all, 7.
But Nath was the same. Nath was probably 7.
They've had game 2, really.
Yeah,
you could probably give Nath a 6 for the series if you combine all 3 games. Game 1, he went missing. Game 3, he didn't step up to the plate.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going back to Origin. Should we go to Brad Singh?
That's what I was trying to get to. Beautiful. Very much. Big thank yous to Brad Smith for doing his videos and his articles for us every week. We do love them. Check him out, supercoach360.com, if you haven't already. He's gone through and given us some options for what to do with Pappy this week. What to do with Pappy. So, take it away, Brad Smith.
Good evening, Super Coaches. Good evening to all the panel there at Supercoach 360 HQ. I hope the boys are all safe and well this week in the caravan of chaos. I also hope that, of course, everyone saw some green arrows, not only on the panel there, but to anybody listening and anybody who's catching up with the pod later on. Don't forget, folks, as well, for more information, do pop into supercoach360.com. Got plenty of great articles there. Roscoe will have one up later today, and plenty of good stuff there for you to get into. All right, this week, obviously, saw a couple of big things happen. Not only is it Monster Scores back with Manu going gangbusters, but we don't know, of course, if that's going to... Sounds like he might be out this week. So, of course, there's no more Monster Scores from him this week, but we'll see how we go. But Pappenhausen, of course, a third of all Supercoach teams have Pappenhausen stashed away in their team already, so you've got to burn another trade and get him out. So that's really what we're going to talk about, just a couple of options and a couple of different options for you, particularly for those people playing head-to-head, which is a real strong consideration unless you're in the top couple of thousand. I think most of all the other players are playing probably or concentrating on head-to-head, which means you've really got to focus on your round 21 game, and you've also got to really consider... the strengths of your team versus your possible opposition. So, you've got to get a couple of pods here or there that on that round are going to really excel the first round of your head-to-head to try to get you set up for the next couple of rounds and bring home the glory. And don't worry if you're in 7th or 8th spot and you're head-to-head or come just sneaking in. Thing is, you've got to win these next couple of weeks, sneak it in. And I've won a few head-to-heads from that position myself in the past and grabbed the cash. So don't give up and have a look at the draw and try to work out the best plan of attack from here on in. And so that's why we're going to talk about a couple of, they might be pod picks, but, yeah, they're a bit different. But there's reasons behind it, and, of course, we'll discuss that. Okay, here's the first one for you. Thomas Dearden. Thomas Dearden at the moment's got an average of 53, but he's only 395K. You got a couple of trades there, and you can get rid of Pappenhausen put Hines back into fullback and get this fella into halfback, that's going to leave you an awful lot of cash that you might be able to strengthen up a few other areas. Hell, you might even be able to bring in a Bal Holmes or something like that as well. The cash might really free up a couple of really nice options. Dearden is definitely not the worst player. He's going to come back from Origin full of confidence, and he has a good score in him. He got 102 back, or 103, I think, back, or something like that, back in round three. So he's got a score of over 100. He was scoring very well the last couple of rounds just leading into Origin. He got a 32 and 29. One of them was a bit, he did have some time off with an injury there. So if we get rid of that 32 and 29, his average then starts sneaking up into just about 60 area. And I see that as where he probably sits as a 65 to 100 scorer. For 395K, that's not a bad option, and could be a real pod. The reason this is a real pod for you is the Cowboys, they, over the next few weeks, over the next 3 weeks, play the West Tigers, St. George, and then Bulldogs in the first round of head-to-head. Now, if that's not a juicy draw, you should just be looking, the Cowboys at the moment for the next few weeks, and for the first week, including the first week of the head-to-head finals. Cowboys players do look shit hot. And I put Dearden, although cheap, the little ranger, I think, could really turn it on with a bit of confidence under his belt. Definitely one to be looking at. Alrighty, so the next one we're going to have a look at, and it's not quite so a radical suggestion for this next one. I know that was a bit wild, that first one, but bear with me. Nick Meaney, not quite so crazy here. He will be taking Pappenhausen's spot. He is 600K. He's got a 61 average in his last five games, which is, quite decent. But not all those games. The last couple, of course, weren't, before this week's game, where he played three quarters of it at fullback before this one. He had a couple of mediocre scores where he sat out there on the wing. However, when he does play fullback, if we go back a little bit, versus Manly, he got 77. Versus Roosters, he got 70. Versus the Broncos, he got 85, all playing fullback. And back in round eight, he got 107, also playing fullback. So he has a good score in him. That does differ a lot when he's pushed back to fullback. A fullback that's kicking goals. If you've got him somewhere in there, you're giving yourself a real good chance, particularly with a lovely pod move like this. He does have Titans. Melbourne play Titans. I think Melbourne are at home as well in the first week of head-to-head finals. So a Melbourne player like a Nick Meaney versus the Titans, I think that's a nice, juicy head-to-head you should be sort of focusing on. They've also got South, Warriors, and then Titans over the next 3 weeks. So Nick Meaney is certainly not your worst option there. And you're going to be 200,000 better off after you sell Pappenhausen, which could enable you to get really strengthened up elsewhere in your team. That's the silver lining of Pappenhausen going down. It's going to give people a chance to really strengthen up other parts of their team. So we will now have a look at our final player today. And the final player, just bear with me, sorry folks. All right. Okay, here's your final player to look at. Really needs not a lot of introduction, Bal Holmes. Now, Bal Holmes currently is 595K with a BE of only 23, which means you're not going to get him any cheaper. If you want him, this is the week to get him. A lot of people, of course, will be going straight to Latrell or straight to Teddy if they had Pappy, and running with a Teddy Pappy at the back, or they might be, of course, be bringing Hines down and getting in a DCE at halfback. They're going to be the popular trades. But this one should not be ignored, particularly for a couple of factors. He's owned only by 6.8% of the teams at the moment. That puts him in a very much of a pod territory, only 6.8%. His last three games have been 65, 99 and 86. Great scoring there. And, of course, like we just discussed with Tom Dearden, his next three games are West Tigers, St. George and Bulldogs. And I reckon there's a few tries in the Cowboys in those three games. And as we know, he'll be kicking goals. So you've got a goal-kicking fullback. Priced underneath 600,000, it's which again gives you an extra 200,000 to spend elsewhere. There's that silver lining again of perhaps going down. But Val Holmes, he's you know, I'd say I'm only going to be making one trade this week, and that's going to be it. I'll put my cards out there for anyone on bursting. You know what my plans are. Yeah, Val Holmes, I do like him. I love the run home. I love the price. Priced perfectly now. And it'll give you something different to what everyone else is doing. Because, you know, three quarters of all teams are going to have that, the Latrell Teddy pairing at the back. But go have a look at the drawers for both South and the Roosters. And then have a look at the draw for the Cowboys. And you might consider... this is a very, very smart move indeed. Alrighty, well, that's it, folks. Many thanks for everybody for tuning in. Good luck with the pod, fellas, tonight. I hope everything goes all right. And let's hope that we all pick the right captain this coming week and you all get some green arrows. All right, bye for now.
Massive thank you to Brad Smith, and I don't know if I'll say this enough, like, thank you very much, Brad. Like, your advice is invaluable. We really, really appreciate getting the videos every week, the articles you do, all the work that you put in, man. You're a great super coach mind. I mean, I'd love to pick your brain more, but I know you like to hold some of your methods close to your chest, but yeah, man, no, definitely. Mad appreciation, mad respect, because, yeah, you've been on the money all year. So... Look at this smile. Look at this smile. I side-eyed Con. Just pull the microphone down and do it. Yeah, he knows exactly what's coming because as soon as he heard it.
I don't know.
Tommy Dearden.
Yeah?
Do you agree?
I don't.
No?
No.
Why not?
The major reason is if you look at his first four games where he got most of his big scores, I think he had back-to-back 70s, 100. He had his big 109 and a 60-odd maybe in there. He averaged 74 throughout the first three games on fire. Four games, sorry. But that was all while the Hammer was playing fullback. Since Drinkwater's moved into the fullback position, those scores have dropped off significantly. So I just... personally watch that. I don't know, he'll come back confident from Origin and everything, but...
So he should do.
I just think... Oh, absolutely, he was brilliant.
Yeah.
He didn't get a mention before. But yeah, I just watched that.
Yeah. Well, it is a good watch, because Drinky does seem to have ball-playing ability, whereas the Hammer don't. Hammer just runs, if you're catching me drift. Yeah. So everything's coming off Deed and going to the Hammer's just... the Hammer running, so whereas
a lot of the time also Dearden plays that short ball to the forward, or he plays out the back to Drinkwater, who hits Bell or Tuolungi on that side.
Yeah,
so that takes away from him there, and he never wraps around to the right hand side and gets involved on the other side of the field. That's just not his style.
Yeah, no, they camped, aren't they? They camped there. 6 and 7 are definitely camped on their sides.
Old Chatty kind of benches just outside the left-hand side of the goalpost, as you'd put it. But, yeah, Dearden strictly sticks to his left.
Yeah.
Drinky's that link man on the right-hand side if they don't hit that weapon, NI.
Yeah, yeah.
Had a brilliant year, NI. Great Origin Series too. Did, on debut.
Yeah.
It was, fantastic stuff.
Yeah, but yeah, the others Brad had as well, like in Val, I fully agree, Val.
I got Val in this week.
And there was someone else. Can't remember now, but we've talked about him Trail, all. We've talked about him all tonight. A couple of times. Should we, you've done Roscoe's roundup. Should we do some questions?
Yep.
Boys, I'll go on to the Facebook and find them. Hold on, where am I? Facebook does me injustice sometimes. Okay, so questions this week. First one comes from... Oh, get up there, bro. Still trying to get it to work.
Do you want me to do it, bro?
No, here it is.
Are you sure?
Yep. Watto, Jared Watson, heavily involved in Discord. If you're on the Discord...
doing well.
Doing very well. The question that's on everyone's mind, best Paps replacement, he's tossing up, go Teddy or Cherry. Also, if I go Mam to Drinky or Munster.
Well, there you go. That's two interesting ones. Drinky or Munster. Who do you go for?
For me, you go.
No, you go, mate.
For me, I'll go Munster.
Munster?
For me, I do. He's turned a coin. He's the best 5'8 this year, I think. By a mile.
Must have. Go on.
I'd take Munster and Drinky personally over DCE and Teddy.
If
you could work that with your jewels. That's how I'd play it personally, but I'm going horrible.
And he's doing well. So yeah, no, for me, Munster, don't get me wrong, Drinky.
I think Munster is a must have, but
Drinky's gonna be a good pod, but Munster for me will be the guy coming home, especially with no Paps now.
I'd take Munster over DCE, Teddy, and Drinky.
Really?
Every day. 100%. He's the only must have out of those four, I think.
Yeah. There you go. Get on Munster first.
Or don't.
Watto. Get on Munster first.
I think maybe that's why that name isn't coming up much in this conversation.
What?
Because everyone's already assuming that people have him.
Yeah,
because he's like that Cleary. You need him.
A lot of people jumped off the other week as well when he got hurt.
I did.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people, if they're not using Pappy, like Juzzy, I think, will, to get Munster back, they would be already have a plan to get him back some other way.
Yeah.
Nobody in the top's going to run to the end of the year without Munster, I don't think.
All right, and then just out of... Paps' replacement, should he go Teddy or Cherry if they are his other options? Teddy or Cherry for you?
Teddy for me.
Flip a coin. I've really
don't know. It's been a while since he said that.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Like, but they're both, their draws aren't bad. They're not good. They both can produce. Teddy is probably more reliable.
More effort.
But,
yeah.
Garrick doesn't kick goals for the next month.
Yeah, that puts Cherry...
Cherry could have an extra 100 points in his bank.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'd flip a coin in that one.
Sorry, Watto. We've let you down there.
Get Munster.
Munster. We're going Munster, and he also asked the other one. So, Nick Heffernan, not a question. Can we just have a yarn on the podcast about how dumb I am? Hines out with the bye. And with COVID, so I went ballsy and traded him to get Paps. Paps gets two shit scores and an injury. Now I have to get Hines back. Wasted two trades for less than 100 points and a loss of 100K. Now, you're not the only one in that boat, I think, Watto. So I wouldn't be too down on yourself.
No, a lot of people would have sacrificed the big gun to get Paps back.
Yep. And it wasn't stupid. It was a play.
Yeah, well, that's it. A lot of people didn't have $600,000 to upgrade a mid cheapy who's semi peaked to go to Paps.
Yeah.
So, yeah, unfortunately, he picked the wrong one.
Yeah. No, don't be too down, bro. We've all done it. I'm coming dead last. Like, everything I've done this year has just been terrible. And, yeah, Paps was one of them things I'd. In hindsight, I still don't regret getting on because you had to. But yeah, I didn't get rid of Nico in saying that either. I got rid of like other people, so that's one of them things. Sean O'Verrett, with Pappy busted and only two trades left, should I hold off on trading? as even if I get back Hines from Mam and Teddy from Paps with 175k left over, there could be another injury to worry about though. He's only got the two trades, and you will definitely get an injury and some resting in the next
COVID.
COVID. It's
that's it. There's
Shauno. Fuck.
Well, I know it's a lot of money, but if you only got two trades left, I think you almost have to hold it for that just in case moment. Like if you can still field a strong 17, holding Paps in your squad.
Yeah,
I think you hold that trade and. Then if something goes wrong and you can't field 17, well, then obviously you got Paps money there and you can buy anyone you want pretty much in the competition if you've got the jewels or whatever. So,
yeah.
But if you do that trade now and Teddy goes down in 2 weeks,
you're gone.
Then you're screwed.
Yeah.
You're sitting there with Teddy's money for the rest of the season and no trades.
It will come down to the makeup of your team. So if you can field that 17, Shauno, I suggest you just try to field it.
That's it. You got to look at the players that you got too.
Well, if
you have players that are susceptible to injury, do you have players that like to be suspended?
Well, not just that.
Look at that kind of thing in the makeup of your team as well to see if you might need these trades elsewhere. Like if you've got Latrell, I personally would want to be saving a trade just in case the hemi re-goes or there's
suspended.
A brain snap.
Yeah.
So.
Also, Shauno, you got to look at this. If you're playing in some head-to-head cashies, if you're in the top couple of positions, you can probably afford to take a hit over the next couple of weeks. If you're vying for positions, you may have to rethink the strategy. But if you're up there and you can afford to take a hit
maybe this week, top eight, there's only two rounds to go.
Yeah. And then you've still got your two trades ready for finals.
If you can luck out and get all the way to grand final week with those two trades there.
Yeah. But if you are playing head-to-head, not head-to-head and playing overall, that's a different kettle of fish again.
Well, that is.
Because you've still got to fill that hole.
Well, obviously, if you're in contention, most of those players up there, I'd say, would have been burning trades.
And cop
pretty
same
ruthlessly
hit.
To be up there where they are now.
Yeah.
So, if you stop now, you're breaking what's got you to where you are, but that's 8 weeks, or 6, 7 weeks, whatever, without trades to go through. That's a long time in Supercoach.
Yeah, so much.
A long
so
time.
So much.
Especially in the COVID era now, it's very, very risky.
Yeah, hold on if you can, Shauno, mate. Just try to field that 17 as best you can. I'd hold off as long as I could, really. All right, Grant Bradley, he has deep deal bags as his 5'8", and Cody as his second pick 5'8". Is Munster still a must-have with Melbourne's poor form, or hold Cody as he's grown another leg now Latrell is back? What are your thoughts, fellas?
This is an interesting one, I must admit. Switch to the wrong camera. It's not Con. This is a very interesting one because Cody was one of those ones that was floated when he was bottom dollar at 550. I think, Con, you said a few weeks prior to that, he's on the way down, he's going to bottom out and then jump on because he'll probably be all right. And he has. He's been a bit of a slow burn, but he's starting to come good. And, yeah, that connection he's got with Latrell is just next level. And it has. It's just brought out all that confidence in him. He's got someone who he can just sort of play footy with. And he loves it. He's definitely a pod option.
Gone.
Well, Storm terrible on the weekend. They only scored one try. Munster burst out, 86 or something, 82?
Yeah. Yeah, he just break tackles like a champ and does what he wants.
Just get Munster in, I think.
Look, for me, it's going to be the same thing we talked about with Latrell, with Cody. They got a tough draw coming up. Everyone's vying for positions, the teams they're playing. So I can see it not being high-scoring Supercoach games, a lot of their games. I can just see grinds if they're going to be wins at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
and the Eels are another one. They've got the Broncos, Panthers, Manly, Rabbitohs, Berries and Broncos, Storm. So they've got a pretty tough draw to run home with too. A lot of teams in contention except for the Bulldogs, really.
They're starting to pick up a little bit of fight.
Well, that's it. You can create an upset, so... Yeah. That's even not a given. You spanked them earlier in the year and
yeah.
You just beat Melbourne and Penrith away. So
yeah, Yeah, I got
anything
a little bit of wood on him
with Parramatta.
Yeah, so yeah, for me, I think, or maybe if you want, you can probably wait and watch a week. But Munster's still definitely a get for me, and it'd be up to who you kept out of Dill Bags and Cody for me. I wouldn't be.
Well, if Melbourne want to win the grand final this year, Cameron Munster has to win the Dally M from here on out and be the best player throughout the final series.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Melbourne are gone.
Yeah.
And he can do it.
Alrighty. All right, Gary Barnes. What are your thoughts on Holmes and Drinky for the run home? I think the Cows have a great run coming up. Con's licking his lips.
Yum, yum, yum. So, I already got Drinky bringing in Holmes this week. Cotter, got Robson, got Lolo. I'm loaded up on Cowboys. If Lucy keeps that front row position, I'm looking at him too.
Yeah, it's there. They're the side this year that you can have, same as Penrith. Like, they're the side you can have 5-6 blokes out of and comfortably know that every one of them is going to do a job for you that week to some extent. You know, they're not going to let you down too much. So, yeah, no, I like that. I really like Val Holmes, especially with the goal kicking. They got a reasonable draw. Yeah, it's really good. What about you, Jazzy?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. The more you guys talk about it, I'm definitely going to weigh up my options.
They have a great draw. They only play one top eight team as it stands right now for the rest of the year, except for the Panthers in round 25, which
is relevant.
I keep forgetting is relevant for overall players, which I'm sorry.
But even then, you'd have to assume it's going to be a depleted game anyway.
No, Panthers will be resting everyone.
So, yeah, it's going to be a game where you'd be scraping up numbers anyway.
How disrespectful of them, according to Brett Kamali.
I
don't want to make it a headline about me being...
here we go. I'll be fair.
That's the first time Ivan Cleary's done the right thing by us as super coaches. Normally just names them all and drops them fucking game day, you know? And for us as super coaches... And I whinge about it every fucking year. Every year I have a go about this. That they need to open the books up, especially because of the betting and all sorts of shit that goes on. Like, and it's still a cloak and dagger industry. Like, you won't find out nothing until 20 minutes before game time. It's like, fuck off. Like, you know how many times that's ruined?
They need to take a page out of the NFL's book.
Well, that's what's ruined a couple of people's seasons. It disheartens when it happens a couple of times too. You just think, fuck Supercoach.
I know everyone should know better, but Matto... Over the last couple of weeks. A couple of people have been banking on him for the last 3 weeks. Us, Noah Maddow's not exactly the toughest guy going around. He doesn't like to put his body on the line when he's hurt.
Yeah.
We knew he was going to miss a few weeks.
Oh, 100%.
But a lot of people were banking on him playing throughout those couple of weeks.
Nah, not for me. But anyway, Michael Mizzi is... Manu a must-have, or should I go someone different like a Val Holmes or a Cherry Evans?
I'm going the pod option with Val. I think Manu's... I know he's got another big price rise in him with that rolling average, that scoring rolling average, but...
Does he...
Draw and stuff, back to centre.
Does he have another... Does he have another... That's the thing, yeah, he might have price rise, but does he have another ton? Like, that's what you want. You don't want him scoring fucking 30.
Against the Knights this week, you could probably say yes, he's got another ton in him. But after that, it gets tough.
Yeah, well, it's been a big couple of weeks for Joey Manu. Like, he ran for 400 metres in the international game. He's done some big things over the last couple of weeks. I wouldn't be surprised if he just has a breather out there at centre. You know? So, no, for me, again, you'd look at the draw there, Michael. I'd definitely have a look at Val Holmes with their draw. Con just said, one top 8. 200K
cheaper as well.
And kicks goals. I just like Val. I like Val in this situation. Joey Ranara. Sorry, man. I push that every time.
In a couple of weeks, I think you're going to want to load up on those Sharkies boys.
Yeah.
And even Zach Lomax for the last 3 weeks of head-to-head finals are good options. I'd hopefully wait for their prices to drop, but you can jump on now as options.
Yeah.
But I'd wait.
Well, Katoa's out, so it only leaves...
Well, Ronaldo's been scoring pretty low too. His price is dropping...
Quickly.
Lovely.
Yeah.
I'd say.
Yeah. So, yeah, from Johnny, Teddy versus Latrell, from now to head-to-head grand final, who scores more? For me, on effort, it's Teddy. that's just for me. Yeah, so Teddy with attacking stats. So Latrell's got the goal kick, and that's what puts him a little bit ahead. But effort from Teddy is second to none at fullback.
I'd probably just lean towards Teddy marginally.
What, on the draw? Or?
Yeah, mainly on the draw.
Because you got to think Trell kick at least 80, 90% of the goals that he lines up for.
No, I think he's about a 75%er over his career, roughly.
Oh, yeah.
Don't quote me on that, but I'd say it'd be around a
75%. No, I'm just saying from here till now, from here to the end, you have to kick probably 80% of goals.
But with their draw, if they're only scoring... Oh, he will kick most of all the goals, or he'll attempt all the goals, but with their draw, how many goals will they kick?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, yeah, that... And then Matty Drew has asked, who is your number one pod for the rest of the year?
KP.
KP, that is a pretty good pod. See, I looked at David Fafita, but he's already 9% of teams. I expect that to go up this week after a 75 and doing nothing.
Yeah. Well, was he like 46 or something pre-updates? And I was like, oh, no, what did I do? Yeah. And then Manga looked back and it's 75, like, what? Where? Yeah. How?
Yeah, so have you got a pod off the top of your head that you can think of from here to the end of the year that you like?
Apart from KP.
Apart from KP. Juzzy, you got a pod?
Nah, not really.
I think, I'm hoping Ruben Cotter's still in 9% of teams as well. So he's not really very poddish either. I haven't really got one, Matty, but I'll get back to you on that because whoever I bring in this week might be pod.
You know what?
What?
Xavier Savage.
You spruik him a couple of times.
Just looking at the Raiders draw, I've just come across it. They got the Warriors.
Yeah.
Titans.
Yeah.
Panthers. Dragons. Knights. Manly. Tigers.
Well, yeah, so
that's probably the best draw out of everyone running home. And he's got a bit of X Factor, old Xavier.
Bro, he looks good.
Chance is going to the Warriors, so he's not going to come back and take his spot.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely could be an outside the box look there.
What's the average, do you know?
Wouldn't have a clue. I just seen their draw there and thought X Factor in, like even maybe even a Hudson Young in the back row.
Oh, like
Hudson. He can find attacking stats. He doesn't mind doing the hard work. He, as long as he gets 80 minutes every week, he's not too bad.
Yeah. Well, look, Xavier Savage against Melbourne got a 28 last week at 80 minutes. But against St. George, 62. Against the Knights, 65. Against Broncos, 66. Against the Roosters, 96. That's been his last 5 games. So not too bad. He's got better as time and as he's been given more time on the field as well. So.
Yeah, apart from the Panthers, he doesn't play top 18. And really only plays Manly, who will be in contention.
Yeah.
Dragons might be, but I don't think so.
He could be a good get, actually, Connor. I don't mind that at all. Have you got any live ones over there, Juzzy? He is worth a lousy 463, so you could...
So that's it. That's, what, $337,000 from Paps? More. More.
And that's massive to upgrade anywhere else, anywhere you needed. Anyone you needed, pretty much. If you didn't have a Harry or someone like that, this is the time.
Something to think about.
Yeah, it is. Not bad food for thought, actually. All right, Jazz, you got any live ones, mate?
Nah, not really.
Thought I'd seen Shauno put something in there.
Shauno's been putting a lot in there with Peter Elzer. They're talking about Peter's thing.
No Richo on holidays this week?
No, Richo's not on holidays. Richo's back at work.
He's still recovering from his holidays.
Oh, Chris put one on there. Initial trades this week. Matt Moylan to Munster or Pappy to Manu leaves him free trades and 135K.
Munster for me.
Yeah, definitely Munster. Definitely.
Save that trade and that Pappy money for a later
day.
There
you go. Shauno's not going to brag, but he's pretty stoked. He finally got my captain choice right. Had it on Garrick. Had it on VC on Garrick, captain on Latrell. And then he went VC to Manu, scoring 15, 48, jumping 1,400 points and into the top 1%. So
nice.
First in all head-to-heads, bar one, which is 16th. So he's first in... Sean, I don't fucking use them trades, bro. Fucking... If you're first in all your head-to-heads, bar one, fuck your trades till finals, mate.
Well, he's, I guess he's got a way up. What he wants to do? How many of these head-to-head leagues are worth cash? How much cash is this worth league? And is it worth missing out on the top 1% potentially? Like, a lot of people hold a lot of stock you make in the top 1% every year.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a good
little
buckle on your belt.
Yeah, I get that. But if the cash is more valuable in those head-to-head leagues and you have to sacrifice the 1%, for me, I'm taking the cash.
Yeah.
If I'm not coming first, I'm taking as much cash out of head-to-head leagues as I possibly can.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck yeah. Yeah. 100%. Way to look at it. So big fella.
Yeah, bud.
What do you got over there, any? Or should we do the post from the weekend?
Yeah, go through that.
All right, so on the weekend, got a post from a listener. Got a thing, what would you call this? A write-up sort of thing from a listener. Gained a bit of...
opinion piece?
Opinion piece. Gained a bit of traction. I won't read the my bit, but this is what got sent to me. And just want to hear, like, a bit of feedback from you guys. I had pretty good feedback on the day on the post, but every one of us in the room's got a different opinion on footy and the way it should be done and played. So it's a pretty good one just to finish the night off with. It's not Supercoach related, so if you want to bail out... No offence.
Yeah, now's the time. if you have no.
Yeah. NRL has a burning issue which sooner or later must be dealt with. Number one, in recent NRL game, a player was sent from the field and subsequently received a 3-week suspension for questioning the referee's integrity. Two, Origin saw three players engaged in violent repeated striking to the head and dangerous contact with the head. Only two of these were sin binned and 10 minutes, and all three received small fines, no suspension. Given that the NRL has been so active recently in the community with their anti-violence campaigns, particularly towards women, how is it that violent behaviour is condoned by the league and even in some courts fans encouraged? The lack of any reference to violent behaviour on field in the laws of the game is an issue that must be dealt with to avoid any double standards. Rugby league is a contact sport, but lack of specific laws relating to violent behaviour and send-offs create the wrong role models for children entering the sport. Violence on the field is what attracts many spectators to the game, but at the same time, it is also what keeps many from engaging in the game as participants and as spectators. Now, having grown up playing soccer, I do enjoy watching the code, but for all our entertainment and excitement value, there are very few codes that compare with rugby league football, that has often been described as a beautiful game, but in the present day NRL and its current skill level can also be added to that list. If violence in all forms is rejected and punishable in Australian society, then why should today's punch-ups on a footy field creating tomorrow's brain disease and sudden trauma contributing to the dementia be accepted? Thoughts, guys?
Jazzy,
you go first because you're like the PC-est one out of all of us.
I'll go if you want.
Nah, look, I have a little update from the person that sent that through. Hold on.
We're gonna start.
Look, I'll be honest with you. Look, my opinion. Look, the game, like, from the days of when it was a punch up and an all in brawl, like, the game has changed. But for me, Origin's a different beast. You know, Origin, we turn up. You know, every year we turn up hoping for a punch on. We do. You know, me and you do especially. I don't know if you love it as much as I do, but I want to see it. It's the love of the game. Like, it shows a different passion, a different level for the sport, if you know what I mean. Like, when they just get so fucking riled up, you know?
Well, I think that's my secret reason why Newcastle's my favourite team, because every time they played Manly, I knew Chief and Spud were punching on,
bro. And it was... It
and I was sitting on the edge of your seat waiting for it.
And it sets the tone for the game. Like, even if there's not another punch shown for the series. I don't give a fuck. We got it out.
No, this is just Newcastle.
Yeah, but they used to go on for him and Chief, you know. It was fucking insane that wrong look, you know. I know my mum was very like, no, you're not playing footy, fucking rah-rah, buffhead, whatever. But at a certain point, you just get to make your own decisions and go and do it. It was based on the fact that it was a physical and violent game. Now, the violent side of it is it isn't. Like, you can't just run up in the street and punch someone in the head. You'll face criminal charges. If that happened anywhere but a football field,
but
you're
also,
going to court.
I can't just run up and crash tackle you on the street either.
No, you can't.
I can't just run with a football in my arm and leave with my elbow to your chin on the street either.
The difference is people consent to playing the game, right? But what he's saying is he doesn't want the examples of the Biff being the role models for the kids of the future the way they have been for some of the kids of the past.
Right.
Actually, he said to...
Where is it?
Just go, Con. Yeah, all right. Well, my take on that is, first, you can't compare Brendan Smith's situation, questioning integrity of the referee, to the punch on in Origin. They're two incomparable situations. Brendan Smith, I think, got lucky to only get 3 weeks. And the other players, everyone was told at the start of the year that players weren't going to be as harshly dealt with through suspensions and whatnot in rep games because they didn't want to punish the league and the clubs for what happens in rep games, which I think's good. So, fines were on the table for pretty much anything that happened throughout Origin this year, and the clubs knew that, everyone knew that. There are laws, striking law, you're sent from the field, so that is in black and white, it's not condoned, it's illegal, you get sent from the field, and in NRL games you are supposed to be suspended for it. I know there has been cases where there haven't been, but good lawyer, obviously. And to, like, they weren't out there punching women in the head. So to bring in violence against women and all that, which the NRL do an excellent job with, not condoning it, teaching their players about the right thing to do and everything, which way they can do good with domestic violence, they do. So I don't think you can bring that one into it either. And
do it. Can I just ask a question before I forget?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do we have enough talent to suspend them from rep games rather than, like, just have it as a different system altogether then? So if that's cool, you just get to play this, but if you go there and throw punches, like, granted, it's probably, let's say it's 3 weeks in the NRL, it's one match and the second offence will be go up to 3 matches, you know what I mean? And then that wipes you out for a whole series or a run at the World Cup at the end of the year.
No.
You don't think that's fair?
Origin is officiated differently on the field, so I think punishment should suit off the field as well. I don't think clubs should be punished for what happens in Origin or test matches or anything like that. If they throw punches in Origin, nobody should be punished, even that state for next year, because that's just going to
you can just go out there and punch fuckers up every Origin. And that's allowed.
Well, the biggest deterrent would be to send them off.
Yeah.
Send them straight off. Not 10 minutes. Send them off. If you swing punches, you're sent from the field. So if you decide to swing punches in the seventh minute of Origin, your team's playing with 12 players for 73 minutes.
Yeah, but what happens when they... Look, someone throws a punch at you, you're going to defend yourself.
Like Burno, at Burno.
Exactly. So they both get sent. Are you going to be stoked watching a 12-on-12 Origin game?
Not 100%. Even that. Are you going to be stoked that old mate who fucking only defended himself, he didn't instigate or anything?
Well, I don't think Birdo even landed the punch, poor
he didn't, bro.
Nah,
and
I would be spewing about losing a man in the, what minute was it?
But I bet you it happens, I bet you it happens once, and when that team gets cleaned up, they don't do it again. If you really want to knuckle down and stop it, that's the way you're going to do it.
That's the other drama with Origin, I think. you're so fucking pumped up for your state. It's bigger than a club game.
That's why it deserves different rules and different punishments.
It's such a bigger game than a club game. Like, you literally got the hand-picked best of the sport out there, bar the internationals.
Well, I said to you, Porsche, as a PC culture guy, yes, you agree with pretty much everything that statement has to say, and then some.
Yeah.
As me, as a lover of rugby league, rusted on fan, diehard, watched it since I was 2 years old kind of thing, I disagree pretty much everything that statement says.
But that's technically where the sport wants to be. That's
the image they're trying to approach.
In
my opinion, that's not the image I want for my game. My game's a gladiatorial game where physical contact is the be-all, end-all. If you can't handle it, go play soccer. Sorry,
yeah,
listener.
But I agree. I'm the same. I fully enjoy the physical side of the sport. I like the gladiator side. I like it when two people just single. It doesn't happen as much as it used to, but I love it when they just single each other out and have a mad battle, you know? And it's just part of the sport. And sometimes when you have such physical encounters with someone on the other side of the field, you just want to smack him in the head. I've been there myself.
Dylan the Mad Dog.
You know? And
how good were their battles back in the day?
They were great. You know, there were so many good battles. But they used to have great battles on the wing. One had to jump on steroids to keep up the other one, but that doesn't matter. We don't care. Good on you.
You're clear.
And, but they did. Same thing. It was a mad battle, you know? And it's sort of a bit lost now in the sport, but I think that's just because you can't have it, because you end up wanting to punch on with old mate so bad. Like, especially if he's sort of upping you all game and he's getting the better of you, then you want to beat him in the fight. And that's how it was, you know. And I remember a time, and this is going to go against everything that the listener said.
Not just
but
that.
Do you remember one in all in? Do you remember when your fucking coach used to turn around and say, boys, if someone smacks you, you all get in there and just go, like.
Well, not just that, like. It could level the playing field for the shit teams. They could go out there and just start punching the hell out of, like, say, Bulldogs or something, just go out there and just start a big all-in brawl with Panthers. That could be enough to rattle them off their game and get a victory over them.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you got to do what you got to do to get the win. And
yeah, that's...
I just miss it. I just miss that. It just took me back. That game took me back to 90s, kind of 2000-ish.
Yeah, early.
As close as I've been to that for 15 years kind of thing. Like, it was just so awesome.
Oh, it was a great game. Like, last bloke I seen get knocked out like that was Dallas Johnson. Just gone.
Which time?
Yeah, like every time. Every time he played Origin 4, dude. But how many times you see him sleeping in the first couple of minutes of the game? It's like, oh. You know, and it'll be on from there. Like,
just... commentators, who's that laying on the ground? You need that look at this Dallas, mate.
Poor dude, hey. Head in the wrong spot every time. Played 20 Origins for about 6 minutes. One heap. That's what matters. Yeah. But yeah, so, now nah, look. Heaps of people agreed. Like, Juzzy, did you go through any of the comments,
Ann?
Did
you
find
what you wanted to say, Juzzy, about it?
Pardon? Nah, the comments keep, what's it called, restarting. And it's a fairly long point, but pretty much I think it boils down to he doesn't care if it's art of the game, but willful striking for the sake of it sets a bad precedent. And look, that there's going to be kids that saw that the other day. They're going to go out, play footy, and think, oh, I can do that. And punch on.
They were both sent from the field, so that should be a deterrent for young kids. You should be taught, don't let your teammates down no matter what. So, getting sent from the field is letting your teammates down. Two, the coach should turn up first thing next training session and say, look guys, as excited as whatever that was, however you felt about that situation last night, we do not condone that here at our club. We are not going to accept that here. If you go out there and start throwing punches, whatever the league do, we're going to sit you down for 3 weeks and you're not playing. Three, the parents also should turn around and say, look, guys, these are grown men. They're playing a professional game. There's a lot on the line here. Tempers are heated. This is their livelihood. Don't do what they do. I'm not condoning it. It might be exciting. It might look good. But do not do that ever in your game of football. You're there to play football, not boxing.
But if someone punches you, you punch them back.
100%. 100%. All day long.
Oh, boys.
Tell him Reggie's standing, you fucking bite his nose off. No, don't do that. You know what? It was just a great encounter again. Another just a great encounter of a game. Thoroughly enjoyed it, even though I lost while spewing. But, yeah, I enjoyed the whole thing. Like, the physicality of it was fucking second to none.
Look, can I ask you a question?
Yep.
All right, Kenty, on NRL 360, I know you don't watch NRL 360.
Yeah.
He's been saying this series that New South Wales don't get Origin like Queensland. They don't share the same passion for the jersey like Queensland, representing Toto and Luai and etc., wanting to play for their countries instead of Australia and the Blues. What do you think? Do you think that's just absolute bullshit and New South Wales care equally as much as Queensland?
Me, personally, I've changed my tune on it. Let him go play, whatever. If you want the international game to be that good.
I'm not talking about international game or anything. I'm talking about Origin.
Yeah.
Do New South Wales get Origin and share the same passion that Queensland do for Origin?
I think we do. I think our problem is we chop and change so much so the core isn't so solid, if you catch me drift. Like we haven't had a solid team like Queensland for a long time.
Game one, you pick your team.
Yeah.
Game two, I think you made 5 changes to the 17, 7 to the squad, 8 to the squad or whatever. Won the game convincingly. Stuck to the same team for game 3, except for one injury, I think, affected change.
Yeah, pain ass.
And then lost, and everyone's like, oh, they got the selections all wrong. But after game 2, I was like, oh, yeah, they've nailed the selections. We've got our team for the series now. We've got this in the bag. And then they lose game 3, and it's like, oh, Freddie's fucking, what is he doing?
No, look, like, we got out enthused in game 3. I think they went in with the same game plan as game 2, maybe a tiny bit adjusted, but they just thought, oh, we're going to blow them off the park with our razzle-dazzle football, and it just was never going to happen. It was going to be a total different game from the start at Suncorp.
Over the last 3 years, on paper, would you say you've been heavily favourite in all 9 games?
On paper, not as heavily as they fucking make out. We're always the favourite
in every game.
We're always the favourite.
Even in your opinion, not even the bookies, whatever.
Oh, look, Queensland always closer than the bookies make out for me. Oh, I always know it's a game, bro. I've lost fucking 100 series since I've fucking been alive. You know what I mean? It's fucking shit. Like, and
I agree. I just don't think New South Wales get it like Queensland. I don't know, I'm going to get hate mail.
I think it's taken different because once upon a time it was New South Wales Rugby League, right? And they played hillbillies. No offence, Queensland, but they played hillbillies from Queensland. Yeah. And no one had ever heard of. They were like blokes from Logan.
Oh, Wally and that played in a few of them. But yeah, like the big stars were in Sydney playing.
And they didn't get a choice. And then that first year when they got the choice, you got to choose to play for Queensland. And I think from that moment on, like kids from Queensland as well, like a Broncos team came in and shit not long after that. Like so much happened for Queensland Rugby League, you know, give them. But the pool wasn't as big. Like you only had 4 major big picking points, whereas Sydney's got 8 clubs within stone's throw of each other. And Sydney's problem's always been the same. They pick the wrong players, mate. They fucking do, and they never stick.
Why? Why do they pick and why don't they stick?
I don't know. For years, I've never known it.
Because they don't get it? So they don't know what team to pick and to stick with that team?
It's not that they don't get it. I think that, so you know what, it was hard to pick a team against a dynasty team. Like, you couldn't really pick. There was a couple of core group there, but you couldn't really pick and stick with many. You had to try to find something so different to beat them, and it took massive injury to Cooper Cronk for us to break that series. Otherwise, it would have been 12 in a row. I've got no fucking doubt about that either, as long as he played, you know. And for me, look, we do get Origin. It's just different for us. You know, we've had, I think, the leisure of so much football, like in New South Wales. It's not that it doesn't mean as much to us. I just think when Queensland got given the right to go and play for Queensland, where they didn't have that right pre-80, you know what I mean? There was no right there. And that got drummed into their culture. Like, use it Queensland, you know? Like, fucking, whereas New South Wales always sort of had. New South Wales had been there for a long, long time. Like, the team, I think they used to pick the team New South Wales and even go play.
No, they used to play Queensland. They won, like, 40 series out of 50 or something ridiculous, yeah, like that.
But there were nobodies, yeah, and shit. It wasn't until 80 that it all changed. It's not that we don't get it, man. I don't know. I think we've got too much. I think there's too much to pick from, if you catch me drifting. It's a bit of a, this bloke's playing good, this bloke's playing good, he's an incumbent.
Yeah. Why does Jack White not make game 3 for New South Wales after being best player in game 1? Yeah.
Don't know.
Gagai being horrible for Queensland game 1, game 2, not great for Newcastle in between, still gets picked for game 3 and...
Because he's
done
it,
exactly
he's
what he needed to do.
Done it for Queensland how many times, you know? And I know I was very upset about it. I thought on late day game changes.
That just
and everything,
takes me back. Game 1, Fox, Jakey not being picked. Don't get it.
Yeah. Well, I understood the Tupou thing, but I don't even think he was matched up with Cobbo, was he?
I'm not sure.
I don't think he was matched up with Cobbo. I think he got put on... Well, they got put out of position. Like, Toto's been playing right side all year, and he played left for the Blues, and Tupou plays left for the Roosters and got put on the right. So, automatically, one of them had to play out of position, I suppose, because you would have had Fox come in. He's a left as well. So.
Fox should have been there, and Jake should have been there game 1. No, if that's maybes.
Jake.
Queenslanders, they're in the team.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. Jake lives and breathes Origin. You know, he...
And the Fox has done a great job over the last so many years. Yeah. Like, the tri-tally might not be the greatest, but his effectiveness chasing kicks and stuff is unbelievable.
I think it's his work coming off the line that's a bit questionable.
He's worked on that button.
He has this year. He's done very well, actually.
Like, that's where those big centers should get back there and help him out.
But anyway.
Team effort.
But, yeah, well done, Queensland.
Yeah.
It was a good game. Good game for rugby league, like we said. Got any?
No, that's it. Thanks for listening.
Cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.